We welcome you to our evening service here at Community United Reformed Church. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you're here. We welcome you. We hope that we can encourage each other as we worship together before the Father's throne of grace. If you've looked at your order of worship or if you've read the announcements, you see that our service this evening is a little different than our normal evening catechism service. This evening we'll begin that part of the catechism that deals with prayer, and the elders have decided to call a special prayer service this evening, and so we'll be working through prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then various supplications together this evening. So to begin, I ask you to please stand with me for the call to worship. We are called to worship with these familiar words from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. May peace be within our walls and security within our towers. For my brothers and sisters and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Let us pray. Our Father, we come into your presence and we pray for peace within this church. We pray for peace within your church around the world. We pray that you would bless us as we gather together here in your presence. We pray that you would make us see you as our great King, our great Creator, and also as our loving Father who longs to hear our prayers and hastens to answer us. We thank you for being the God who loved us in Jesus Christ, the God who has given us your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that as we worship you, as we adore you, you would knit us together, that you would build us up, that our hearts would be filled with reverence and awe. We are glad to be here in your presence tonight. We pray that you would bless us in Jesus' sake, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now lift up your hearts and receive God's blessing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalter hymnals, the blue hymnal that you'll find in the rack in front of you, to number 263. And let's sing together some of the words that we read as our call to worship. Number 263, we will sing stanzas 1 and 6, the first and last stanza of number 263. Gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. Yea, for the sake of friends and kin, my heart desires thy peace, and for the house of God the Lord, my care shall never cease. My care shall never cease. Please be seated. Having come into the presence of a holy God, the presence of a God who is majestic and just, we realize that we are a people of great sin. And so our first prayer this evening is a prayer of confession. And in connection with that, I will be reading from Psalm 32, verses 5 through 7, which says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray a prayer of confession. Merciful God, for the things we have done that we regret, forgive us. For the things we have failed to do that we regret, forgive us. For all the times we have acted without love, forgive us. For all the times we have reacted without thought, forgive us. For all the times we have withdrawn care, forgive us. For all the times we have failed to forgive, forgive us. For hurtful words said and helpful words unsaid. For unfinished tasks and unfulfilled hopes, God of all time, forgive us and help us. In these moments of silence, Lord, we come to you with our individual confessions. We confess our sins together as individuals, together as a church. We pray that you would forgive us. Eternal God, we have confessed our sins to you. We have confessed that often we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not always done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. But in Psalm 32, you promise that you are a hiding place for us in Jesus Christ. You promise that you would surround us with shouts of deliverance. And so we know that you forgive us in his name, and that you have freed us for a life of joyful obedience. We thank you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's turn together again in our Psalter hymnals and sing a song of confession that matches the prayer that we have just prayed by turning to number 94. Number 94, God be merciful to me. And we'll sing the first two stanzas, stanzas 1 and 2 of number 94, and we will remain seated to sing.
Going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19, if you're following along, page 977 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant to you be strengthened with power through his Spirit and in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. O gracious and almighty God, you have made the worlds. You uphold all things by the word of your power. So we thank you for creating this world so beautiful with its natural wonders. We look around and we see mountains, valleys, trees and flowers, oceans, lakes, birds of the air, beasts of the earth, and fish in the sea. You created man in your own image as the crown of your creation, a little lower than the angels, and crowning him with glory and honor. So, Father God, we are thankful for the lives you have given us and the good things on this earth to sustain us and supply our every need. We thank you for the country that we live in and the many freedoms we enjoy. Amongst these freedoms is being able to gather freely to worship the one true God. We thank you for the communities and neighborhoods you have placed us in. May we be a beacon, Father, to those around us. May we be an example of your love to, may we be example of your love to us by displaying that love to each other in our church and to our neighbors. Thank you for those you have gathered here tonight. Strengthen our love for you, that we may tell of your marvelous works, and that we may be glad in you and rejoice in you. We will sing praises to your name. We will cry with a loud voice, "Thanks be to our God." Even after all the blessings, we look forward to a greater life and richer blessings through Christ. So thank you for a Savior and your plan of salvation. We rejoice with Psalm 98 when it says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." This speaks of a spiritual victory, a great victory by our God over death and Satan. Thank you, Father, that we may share in this victory through the death, resurrection, and now rule of your Son, Jesus Christ, who together with the Holy Spirit is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. We're going to sing some of the words of Psalm 98 in Psalter Hymnal number 190. Psalter Hymnal in your blue Psalters, 190. The first two stanzas, sing a new song to Jehovah.
Please be seated.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles for our Old Testament reading to Psalm 23, the very familiar words of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is found on page 458 if you're using the black pew edition Bible in the rack in front of you. And Psalm 23 is going to prepare the way for the sermon this evening. The sermon this evening is going to be a little different than the way we normally do sermons. It's going to be more of a discussion. Well, I guess kind of one-sided because I'll be doing all the talking. But it's going to be a discussion of how it is that we pray thankfully and joyfully before God. How it is that we let the word of Christ dwell richly in our prayers. And we're going to be using Psalm 23 as a model for a way to pray. So we'll read Psalm 23 now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our New Testament reading, I invite you to turn with me to two verses from the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, that's found on page 984. If you find the New Testament, you find the four Gospels, the book of Acts, then Paul's letters, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll be reading simply verses 16 and 17. There Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons we're having this prayer service, well, one of the most important reasons is, of course, for us to come together as a congregation in prayer. We're also having it because we are beginning the section of the Heidelberg Catechism this evening that has to do with prayer. So I invite you to turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism. You'll find it in the back of your Blue Psalter hymnal on page 57, Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45 is the first Lord's Day, the first collection of questions and answers that have to do with prayer. And we'll be reading this Lord's Day together. I'll be reading the questions, and then we can respond together with the answers of Lord's Day 45, found on page 57 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal. Question 116, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. Question 117, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no one other than the one true God, who has revealed himself in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. Question 118, what did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And the next question and answer asks, what is that prayer? And it's the Lord's Prayer, which we prayed together earlier. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word, you invite us to come into your presence in prayer. You invite us to come before you, asking for everything we need spiritually and physically. We thank you that this is such a great gift. We pray that you would teach us to pray, that you would build us up in our prayers, and that by your Holy Spirit, you would teach us to pray in such a way that glorifies you, that lets your word dwell richly in us, and that builds us up to be dependent and trusting in you alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the University of Virginia very recently did a very interesting study. They got together a group of people, and each one of these people was given an electric shock. Something strong enough to be jolting and painful, not doing any damage, but it was quite a shock. And then they asked, well, did any of you enjoy that? And of course, they all said no. And then they said, would you pay money to keep yourself from being shocked again? And they said, yeah, I would pay my own money to not be shocked like that again. Well, then they took each participant in this study and they put them in a room alone. No phone, no computer, no music, no books. Just you by yourself in a blank room, absolutely quiet. The only thing you had in this room was a little clicker. And if you clicked it, you would get shocked again. And you had to spend 15 minutes alone in that room. Just 15 minutes all by yourself. By the end of 15 minutes, 2/3 of the men and 1/4 of the women in that study had decided to click. I don't know what to make of the gender difference there, but those results are surprising. Human beings are so uncomfortable with being alone by ourselves that a large number of us, almost half, would rather be shocked than sit alone with our thoughts. We're so bored by just 15 minutes of quiet that we would prefer bodily pain. It terrifies us to be alone with ourselves. So let me now put forward the awkward question. I wonder how many of us might feel the same way about prayer. Do we get so bored in our prayers, in our private prayers, that an electric shock might be more attractive than spending 15 minutes in prayer? I wonder if we took a survey of our church family here, how many of us made New Year's resolutions? And if you made New Year's resolutions, how many of us made New Year's resolutions about prayer? I know I did. I want to pray more. I want to pray deeper. I want to be more vibrant in my prayers, more faithful in my prayers. I think if we were honest about our Christian walks, prayer would be the number one area in which we all desire to grow. That's something I tell young people who are making profession of faith in this church. When they come to chat with the elders, that question always comes up. Talk to me about your prayer life. And I tell them when that question is asked, don't be afraid to be honest. Because if you say, you know what, I struggle with prayer. I don't faithfully pray like I know I should. I know prayer is important and I make it a priority, but it's so hard. I tell them, if you say that, I'm sure the majority of men in the consistory room will say that they struggle too. We have a number of beautiful prayer warriors in our church. Some of them are elders and deacons. Many of them are women and men who bless our church by their faithful prayers. But if you talk to them, they'll tell you too that sometimes prayer is a struggle. You have to make it a priority because it doesn't always come naturally. My New Year's resolution this year was to pray more than I think about how I should pray. That instead of always thinking I should pray more, I should actually get on my knees and pray. Whenever the thought comes, I need to be praying, then to actually take the time to pray at that moment. And let me tell you what I found. It's hard to pray sometimes. And there are a lot of reasons that prayer might be hard. There could be sin in our hearts. There could be temptation and opposition from outside. There can be laziness and spiritual immaturity. But I want to talk about one reason that prayer is hard. And that's that we can get bored with our own prayers. We can pray and maybe feel like we'd rather have that electric shock because we're just bored. Now, let me say one thing before I go on and talk about why we are bored in our prayers. And that's that the good news is that God is not bored by our prayers. If you come to Him in faith through Jesus Christ, He does hear you and He does care. Even if you're bored, He won't be. And that's good news for us. but we do get bored. And often, it's because we end up praying about the same old things in the same old ways. I mean, what do you pray about every day? I'll bet if we each wrote down the things that fill our everyday prayers, they would all fall into some of the same categories. I mean, we all pray about our families, our immediate family, our spouses, our children, our family members far away, our relationships. We all pray about our futures, the decisions we have to make, the days that we wake up and face. We all pray about our finances, seeking God's provision in our lives. We all pray about work, at your job, at your school, whatever God has called you to do. We pray about Christian concerns. We pray about this church. We pray about the work that you're doing in your neighborhood. We pray about our missionaries. We pray about crises, something that's huge and rocking your life, like a death or a job change or some emergency that we're facing. We pray about temptation, the things that we face, the struggles that keep on getting us down. We pray about our friends. We pray about things around us in the world. We pray about things that would all fit into this small handful of categories. And we pray about them every day. And you know what? Those are all important things to pray about. Things we should be praying about. Things that God tells us to pray about. There's nothing wrong with praying about these things over and over again every day, multiple times a day. We should. But the reason we often get bored with our prayers is that we end up praying the same things about the same things every time. We pray about family. We work through the names of those who are dear to us, and we end up saying the same things about them in the same way every day. If you're in the habit of daily prayer, this has probably happened to you. You end up repeating yourself, and you're repeating yourself because these topics are so dear to you. And you know that God wants to hear about the concerns of your heart, so you bring these things to Him repeatedly. But eventually, you kind of get bored with saying the same things in the same way every day. And when that happens, it can get very hard to pray. Now, let me repeat what I said a moment ago, because it's important. If that describes you, don't fear, because God doesn't get bored with our prayers, even if we do. We believe in the power and importance of prayer. We want to be central to who we are as individual Christians and who we are as a church. But what do? When we find prayer so hard, when we end up, quite frankly, getting bored with our own prayers. Well, tonight, like I said, I want to offer a solution. It's not a one-size-fits-all, but it's something that I have found to be very helpful, and I think it's something biblical. Now, if you have a vibrant and joyful prayer life, just keep doing what you're doing. I love and admire you. But I think most Christians do struggle with prayer, and I think most of us do end up just praying the same way about the same things over and over and over again to the point of getting bored with our own prayers, and that makes it hard to pray. Well, in Colossians 3, Paul tells us, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's verse 17 of what we read. And if we truly understand the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, what He's done for us and how that makes us new creations, then our lives will bubble forth in thanksgiving. That's why we want to pray, because we've been invited into this relationship with God. And our Heidelberg Catechism rightly points out that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Vibrant prayer is the sign of a healthy relationship with God. So how can we learn to pray vibrantly? Well, I think we would be very wise to apply what we read in Colossians 3, verse 16, to our prayers. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We've talked about that verse quite a bit. We talked about it in connection to what we sing in our worship services, in connection to how we speak to one another, in connection to how we disciple one another. But what does this verse say about the way we pray? What would it look like to let the word of Christ dwell richly and deeply in our prayers? If you're plagued with boredom and inconsistency in your prayers, I would encourage you to think about this. Letting God's word guide your prayers. God has given you a desire to pray. That's His Spirit at work in you. That's you responding to living in this covenant relationship with Him. But God has also given you another tool, His Holy Word. These are the words that he's given us to understand him and to understand that relationship we have with him. If you're stuck in your prayers, if you're bored in your prayers, then I encourage you to try praying God's words back to him. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your prayers. And I think if we follow the advice of Paul in Colossians 3:16, we'll find the easiest way to start is with the Psalms. So if you're stuck in praying the same things about the same things every day, think about this. Choose a psalm and let God's word control your prayer. Let me show you what I mean by using Psalm 23, very familiar words. So let's say that I wake up in the morning and I want God's word to guide my prayer. So I'm going to open up to this psalm and start praying. Well, verse 1 is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you think about this verse. Well, what does a shepherd do? He takes sheep where they need to go. He protects them. So you start praying, "Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. You've protected me in all these different ways. I can look back over my life and I can see the way that you've led me to where I am now." Or maybe I'm confused right now in my life. So I pray, "Lord, help me to trust in you as the shepherd that I need you to be in this day. Right now in this situation, in this crisis, in this anxiety." And then you get to the verse that says, or the part that says, "I shall not want." And if you're like me, this is the way you would pray. "Lord, this verse is not true of me very often. I want so much. I want more money. I want a better house. I want my marriage to be smoother. I want to be able to communicate with my kids better. There's so much that I want. So teach me to trust you so much that this verse is true of me." And then you keep praying through the psalm. Maybe you want to pray about your children. So you pray, "I pray for my son. Make him to lie down in green pastures. Lead him beside still waters." Green pastures are bountiful food for sheep. So feed him with what he needs spiritually and physically. Still waters are peaceful. So give him peace in his life today, in his situations. Maybe you want to pray about your friend or your relative who doesn't know Christ. So you pray, "Restore his soul. Lead him in paths of righteousness for your name's sake." Maybe you pray this. "I heard in a sermon recently that righteousness means living in sync with God. So work in my friend's heart. Make him aware of ways that his life isn't the way it's supposed to be. Make him aware of his sin. And then restore his soul by making him see Jesus." Well, do you see what's happening as you're praying this way? You're letting the word of God guide your prayer. You're praying about the same things that you prayed about every other day. Your family, your friends, your future, your finances, all those things. But you're praying about them in new ways, ways that are letting the word of God dwell in you richly. The boredom that might come from praying the same exact phrases and the same exact words every day is defeated because you're letting the word of God guide you in what you say. Now, every once in a while, if you keep doing this, not every psalm is as easy as Psalm 23. Not every passage lends itself so easily to prayer, and that's okay. You can keep moving. You can even skip a verse if you don't understand it. Every once in a while, you might be praying, and a whole new thought will come into your head. Maybe you're praying the verse, "Your rod and your staff will comfort me," and suddenly you think, "Hey, I have a friend named Rod that I haven't thought of in ages. Maybe I should pray about him." Obviously, that's not what the verse is about, but it's not wrong for you to take a moment and pray about your friend Rod before you return to the psalm. Well, maybe you think that this is a goofy experiment, but I would challenge you to try it. Go home this week and pray through the rest of Psalm 23. Let those familiar words guide your prayer. It's not wrong to pray about the same things every day. God cares about the desires of your hearts. He wants to hear from you. But how much richer will our prayers be if we let God's word guide them? This will keep you from being bored by your own prayers. I've challenged our high schoolers before to set a timer when they pray. I mean, they know that prayer is a priority, but sometimes it seems so daunting to even start. So if you have to start with just setting a timer for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, it's better than nothing. Sometimes in the past, I've set a timer for 5 minutes, and I'll be honest, I start praying and I check the timer before I'm done. It's like, really, only 3 minutes have passed? So if you're running stuck on prayer like I have in my life, If you're struggling with how to pray, if you're feeling bored with your own prayers, give this a try. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your prayers, and there's no better place to start than the Psalms. This isn't a solution that will solve all of your problems, but it will help you be filled with that thanksgiving that Paul writes about in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. It will help you pray creatively and meaningfully about what is close to your heart. When I started trying this, I was amazed by how easy it was to fill up 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even hours with prayer. If you want a challenge this week, open up two things. Psalm 119, the longest psalm, and the church directory, and pray one verse about each person. The Catechism reminds us that prayer is the most important part of our thankful relationship with God. Think about your other relationships. Think about the conversations that happen in your marriage with your spouse, someone you see every day. You want to talk to them. You want them to know your heart. You love hearing what they have to say. Will there be days when you're tired and grumpy? Will there be days when you're silent and have to say, you know what, it's not your fault. I just had a bad day. I just don't feel like talking. Of course, there will be days like that. We're human. We're still broken. There will be days when we're bored in our prayers or tired in our prayers, when we have to force ourselves to pray. But what we want is for our prayers to reflect a healthy relationship, not sitting there for 15 minutes and ending up preferring to be shocked. Because God invites us into this beautiful covenant relationship. God wants to hear from us. Once in an interview, a little child asked Mr. Rogers, who's also known as Reverend Rogers, about prayer. And Mr. Rogers responded, "The thing God wants is a relationship with you, even if you're just a child, especially if you're just a child. Look at how Jesus loved the children who came to him and welcomed them. God wants to hear from you. God cares about you. He cared about you so deeply that he sent his son into the world to die for you. He knows you deeply. He knows how broken you are in your sin. And yet he loves you more than you can know in Jesus Christ. We know we don't deserve to be loved or heard, but we also know, as the Catechism reminds us, that God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. So let's dedicate ourselves to prayer as a thankful people. Let's seek ways for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, including in our prayers. And let's run to the throne of grace with our concerns and our cares and cast them on our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the way in which you invite us to cast our cares on you. We thank you that you have given us this gift of prayer. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill us with an energy in our prayers, that you would fill us with joy in our prayers, that our prayers would reflect our relationship with you, the relationship in which we trust you as our faithful and loving Heavenly Father, the relationship in which you love us as your blood-bought children. We pray, Lord, that we would let the word of Christ dwell in our prayers richly, that we would let the scriptures flavor our prayers, that we would pray your words back to you, and that in all things in our prayers we would remember the precious truth of the gospel, that we are yours because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. We pray this in his name. Amen.